Major League Baseball has announced that Ryan McMahon, it should have been ruled a catch, and the umpire got it wrong.
Why is that good news?
Because they're admitting the mistake.
Okay.
So don't worry about it. Sorry.
It didn't matter.
My bad.
It was just another reason to get mad at Brian Walsh, but it didn't matter.
It ended up not mattering, and what I find funny about this is the NBA has the two-minute report. Sometimes we go through it. No other league has the transparency of the NBA, which I appreciate. Baseball, football, like, they rarely will admit mistakes. But that call last night was so egregious that MLB called up Boone and said, my bad. I mean, that's... I don't know what to think about that.
Any word on how many little Spalding balls were in Tremel's bat? Did we get that done yet?
There has been no update on the Chandler Tremel bat, and honestly, who cares? Like, you're done facing the Astros.
Well, no, you just want to prove that there is a precedent of the Astros cheating specifically against the Yankees.
Oh, stop. Tremel.
I'm just telling you, that's what that was all about.
He's right. How could you say who cares if it's another blatant, obvious Astro cheating against the Yankees?
If MLB reveals that the Taylor Trammell bat was somehow illegal, we will all forget about it within a week.
Quite contraire.
No, au contraire.
Au contraire. I think that becomes the tip of the iceberg, and we start looking into, and John Boy starts focusing on all the bats that the Astros have used all season long.
Oh, come on. Come on. Desperate attempt. Anyhow, a little after 5 o'clock, live from American Dream, it is time for a very special Football Friday on location, Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. All right, I drank the Kool-Aid, I drank the lolly shake, I drank it all, and I picked the Giants, even though I said all year I wasn't going to do it, to win 10 games. So how do they get there? Here's predicting the best 5 Giant wins of the season.
You went cheap and easy.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Cheap and easy. They're not going to even win 5 games.
Stop it. You said right. 5.
That's right. I was right at the number. You're right.
The 5th best win of the year will be to close the season. A Week 18 win over the Dallas Cowboys at home, led by Jackson Dart. Very similar to a win at home over Dallas in the final week of the season in 2004 by Eli Manning as he handed the ball off to Tiki Barber, and the rest is history.
I have questions about your list, but I'm going to save it for the end so you can get through it, but I'm going to jot them down.
9-7, fighting for a playoff spot. Yeah. You got to win to just sneak in because the Eagles are really good and the Detroit Lions are right back. You need to find that 7th, 10-7.
Oh, and how about this?
Victory against the Dallas Cowboys with Jackson Dart calling an audible on the 2-yard line, checking into a run, handing it off to Tyrone Tracy, who scores the winning touchdown.
I love it, Tiki. And also, a little spoiler alert, we're rooting for the Eagles in Week 18 to knock out the Commanders to get the Giants in. All right, here we go.
Number 4.
How about November 23rd in Detroit as the Lions take a little peek ahead to Thanksgiving and catch themselves sleeping and the Giants stun the Lions the weekend before Thanksgiving?
Well, you know why you're flawed?
Why?
Because Thanksgiving is late enough in the season that if the Giants are going to win 10 games, they're going to be a good team. And the Detroit Lions are not going to overlook them.
All right, I mean, look, I'm full of flaws, Tiki.
Tiki's finding them.
Bear with me. Here we go.
Number 3.
This is one that I settled on the entire drive in. Week 3, home on Sunday Night Football. The Giants beat the Kansas City Chiefs with their pass rush, owning the night and leaving Patrick Mahomes crying like little piggy, wee-wee-wee, all the way home.
May I be the first to ask this question, because it will be asked in a few weeks. Do you think Tay-Tay will be at that game?
She will be.
It's New York. Of course she's going to be at that game.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
They'll eat a nice fat dinner. Kelsey will be nice and slow because he's fat, and then that'll be a whole thing. All right, here we go.
Number 2.
Week 2 versus Dallas. They had their shot yesterday, and unlike yesterday, Dexter Lawrence is not a spitter. He's not getting ejected early. And Javonte Williams is not going to be able to gash them through the middle of the field. They beat Dallas in Week 2.
All right, let's get to number 1. I'm excited.
Number 1.
This freaking weekend.
Best win of the year.
Start here and set the tone. Now, how will they beat the Commanders? Stay tuned, then I'll let you know in our pick segment coming up in a little bit.
So I got a few questions. First of all, you predict the Giants are going to go 10-7, which is a very optimistic pick. And for anyone just tuning in, this is normal. It's been happening pretty much at this radio station. I can definitely exonerate Giannotti because I heard him this morning. I agree with him. Giants are going to stink, so we're on the same page. But basically, as we get closer to the start of the season, optimism fills our heads. And so everybody has now gained the optimism. I've not. I think the Giants are going to win 5 games, with all due respect. I don't think the Jets are going to be great either. But Sean has said they're going to win 10 games. He also said that Jackson Dart is going to lead them to their 10th win. So walk me through how Dart becomes the starting quarterback in what is a successful season from jump, considering they're winning week one against Washington and they're winning week 3 against Kansas City. How does Dart become the guy?
Did you think I was unprepared for this question, Evan?
No, I'm sure you have an answer. I just want to know what it is.
It's a good question, Evan.
We are going to have major controversy around the midway point of the season, Evan. The Giants, and if you follow that list, are starting the season 3-0. They are going to lose to the Chargers in week 4. They're going to bounce back and beat the Saints as they should and flex on them, and they are going to be a 4-1 football team. However, what will happen from that point forward, dose of reality versus the Eagles, Denver defense swallows them up in Denver, and oh my God, here come the Eagles again. And the Giants will be in a 3-game tailspin that gets them to 4-4, good vibes and the offense vanishing. When at 4-4, similar to a season led by Kurt Warner.
5-4.
We debate. Oh, they're not out of it. You can't do this. You can't do it. And Brian Daboll says, nope, my guy's ready. And Jackson Dart leads the Giants to the postseason.
All right, fair enough.
That's actually well thought out.
No, it is. I mean, I didn't doubt that you didn't think it out well. I think one of the big questions
Did you think that out previously, or did you just do that off the top of your head?
I thought it out at Hibachi today.
Oh, nice.
While we were
That's what
our
I was typing my phone, and I was going through, how do we get here?
By the way, if you're not watching on TV on SNY, and a great job as always by SNY, thank you for coming out. Sean is wearing a New York Giants tattoo on his face.
I am.
It matches the one on his arm.
That's right. I'm getting tattooed all over the place.
I think one of the great questions around the Giants this season, and it's going to be the talking point, no matter if you want it to be or not want it to be, is when does Jackson Dart take over? Mm. Now, Tiki laid out earlier, he doesn't think he does.
I don't think he does
at all.
He thinks
Russ plays all 17 games. But most of us think at some point Jackson Dart is going to get an opportunity to be the starting quarterback of this team. You laid it out specifically. I think you said week 9.
Yeah, after that second Eagles loss, they will be 4-4 on a 3-game losing streak.
Yeah, I have to admit, we did this right after the draft. We played a little game of when Jackson Dart will start, and I thought he would get a token start at the end of the year, a la Patrick Mahomes, and the Giants
would
accomplish.
But that would mean wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be the same because the Giants wouldn't have a playoff spot wrapped up, but they would go the whole year starting Russell Wilson. I'll tell you why my opinion has changed. You can tell Daboll not only loves the kid, but believes in the kid. I think him being the backup is one of the signs. How he's talked about him has been another sign. So I think that I'm going to be wrong and that Daboll is going to make the change.
But it also becomes a test in patience for Daboll if what you're saying is right. And I think what you are saying is right. It's just a question of, is he going to act on it before he needs to or should?
Yeah.
And so if he has patience enough to see it through with Russ,
right,
because that's what Russ was signed here to do.
Sure.
Help them win football games in the short term as you develop Jackson Dart behind him. So at some point you hand it over to the kid, he's ready, and everything just kind of takes off from there. Like, that's the ideal plan. But
yeah,
it takes patience to have that plan.
It does. And that's why I'm battling, because I was looking at the Giants schedule. And again, I think they're a 5-win team. And I think they're going to show signs of being good. I don't want you to think I think they're just going to be miserable. Like, they're going to lose tough games. And you're going to come in on Monday sometimes and be like, boy, they were close. They're making progress. So I was battling in my head because I was thinking about this all this morning. When does Jackson Dart make his debut? When does it happen? And you said it won't happen this year in terms of a starter. I respect that. Sean said week 8 again.
Week 9.
Before I tell you what I came to, Tommy's obviously a big start Jackson Dart guy right away.
Yes.
Respect it.
Yes.
Disagree with it, but respect
okay.
it.
Okay.
Your prediction. Prediction.
Prediction, not what I want.
When Jackson Dart will not just enter a game, but become the starting quarterback of the New York Football Giants. Go.
Before you go there, Tommy, NFL yes. Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy week one matchup between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Jets, who swapped quarterbacks this offseason, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's, let me do my math, $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Continue, Tommy.
Oh, that's what makes you a pro, Barber. I'm going to say off the bye, late in the year, they have three out of their last four at home. Mm. I think they ride, as much as I want Dart to start right out of the gate, I think they ride Russell Wilson out, maybe even Jameis Winston, potentially, for a couple of games. They go to Dart at the end of the year, three at home, so that we leave the year on good vibes. You get a month worth of games.
So that's late in the year. So even though you are very pro-starting him, you're being realistic, you're giving an honest assessment on this, you are saying it's not going to happen until week 15, which is middle of December.
Yeah, because I think they just set themselves up for this, because even though Jameis is third string this week, he might still be the backup. I think if Russ were to get hurt or ineffective, my lean is they would go to Jameis, not Dart.
What week did they go to Eli? Do you remember off the top of your head?
It was week 10.
And what was your reaction when you were told? You can be honest. That's okay. It's not a slight on Eli. He was a rookie.
You know, it was actually hopeful.
Okay.
Like, I hope that he's ready. Clearly, he wasn't. And he struggled for 6 weeks. But then he got it. And it happened like that.
And it was week 10, correct?
It was week 10.
Was it week 10, Sean? Can you double-check, Tiki?
They were 5-4, so unless they had a bye, it was week 10.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen this time. Mm. I think it's going to be week 10.
What game is that?
In Chicago against the Bears. Mm. And I think the Bears are going to stink this year. I think that what's-his-name is completely overrated.
Caleb Williams.
I don't mean Caleb Williams.
No, he's talking about
Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson.
I mean, either one.
I have no issue with Caleb Williams. I got to have an issue with Ben Johnson. And so,
because he didn't choose the Jets.
I didn't want him.
He didn't want the Jets either.
Well, good. I didn't want him. So don't make it like
I didn't want you.
Well, I didn't want him first.
He didn't want you second.
So I win. I think, and this is where I'm wrong. I'm wrong before I'm wrong. You can tell Daboll can't wait to start this guy. Mm. You can tell. I think it's obvious.
But I don't think that's true, because I don't think he dislikes Russell Wilson.
I never said he dislikes Russell Wilson.
I think he respects what Russ is bringing from a leadership standpoint.
But did I say that he dislikes Russell Wilson?
No. But it will be very hard, especially given what Russ is bringing from a leadership standpoint, an experience standpoint, a trust standpoint. He still is as Carl told us 3 hours ago, 2 hours ago, he's still got that live arm. You see it with the deep balls. You see it with the outs, et cetera. It'll be really hard for him to do that in the face of Russell Wilson.
And that is why I didn't say the first 5 weeks of the season, because I think the Giants are going to start the year 0-3. And when they get to that point, there's going to be conversation whether we like it or not.
They can't start 0-3. They're winning this week.
I respect your opinion. I think they're going to start 0-3. If I happen to be right, we're going to get a lot of start. I mean, Tommy's going to say it.
No, I'm going to say it after week one.
I get that. And I think because of that respect that Daboll has for Russell Wilson, he's not going to make the move in September or October. I think it will take time before he does it. But to me, it's obvious by what he says about him and then the actions. He's the backup. We didn't fully expect that going into camp. So I think that Brian Daboll can't wait to play him, and I think it's going to happen this season. Even if I disagree with it, which I do, I'd have him sit the whole year.
Well, let's go to the backup thing real quick.
Go.
So in 2022, there was a way of being with this team that you saw and you heard and they talked about openly.
Yes.
That is, you had to earn your playing time. It's why, Galloway, what was his name?
Kenny Galladay.
Kenny Galladay.
He stunk.
That's why he didn't play.
Is he here today, by the way, for this event?
That'd be something.
I doubt it. That's Kenny shows up. He's like, I'm signing autographs.
I doubt it. But he had to earn his way into the starting lineup despite the deal that got him here. And he didn't. He played at the end of the season. So there was a culture of earning it. And in order for Brian Daboll to put Jackson Dart as the second team quarterback,
right,
it was because he earned it. Now, it's not a knock on Jameis Winston. Jameis just kind of wasn't given the chance to earn it.
He was
kind of always the backup-ish type of player. Jackson Dart earned being the second team quarterback. It wasn't because Dave wants to start him at some point. I think it was all about earning it. And I think that getting back to that is one of the most important things that this team has
but
done.
But aren't those two things related? Like they, him earning
they are,
it will
they
make
are.
Him closer to taking this job.
But I still don't think that he's ready. And I think that Dave thinks that he's not ready as well.
I don't think he's ready either. And again, there's a difference between what I would do and what I think they're going to do. I think it is ideal for this kid to sit the entire year.
Yes.
There's no negative to it.
Yes.
Like that's
I
what,
agree.
Anyone I argue with about this, I'm like, what's the negative to him sitting for a year? What, you think he's gonna go bad?
There is none.
There is no none. And I think that I'd rather err on the side of caution, especially when you've got a capable starting quarterback.
But if he's great, he'll be great whether you rush him, you don't rush him.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with
that. Is Jaden Daniels a great quarterback?
Is Sam Darnold a good quarterback?
Jaden Daniels is a good quarterback. I can't call him great after 1 year.
Well, he's not great yet, but I think the best example to combat your argument is to use guys that were rushed and now they've had some level of success. Geno Smith and Sam Darnold, I say it from experience, and now they're successful. I think there's two reasons they weren't successful with the Jets and now they are elsewhere. A, the Jets stink and their management and their coaching is awful, clearly. Okay. And B, they weren't ready. Ideally, do you remember who was on the Jet roster when they drafted Sam
was
for
it
training camp?
Was it like Robbie Chosen?
Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, Teddy B. Oh, you're saying quarterback-wise.
No, yeah. I came on the radio and said into a microphone, the man's got to play. Let the kid sit. Let the kid sit. And I know I can never prove my answer because, well, history's already happened. But I do believe that Sam would have had a better chance of succeeding if he sat. So you can't use that as, well, if you're great, you're going to be great. I don't know if I agree with that.
But don't we all agree the Giants have two things that are a rookie quarterback's best friend, a great defense and a great running game? And a great wide receiver. Yes, Malik Nabers.
But, do they have a great offensive line, Tommy?
To be determined.
Yes, David Carr, how that helped out.
Are they going to have a great offensive line by next year? They haven't had a great offensive line since basically Kiki was in the league. So, I mean, at some point, you can't be afraid. You got to play him. My thing is, if he's great, and I believe he will be, he'll be great whether he sits or he doesn't. So let's get the Jackson Dart.
I don't agree
started.
With that.
You think Jordan Love would have been great right away in year one?
I do. But I don't, by the way, I don't think Love is great. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, Daniels is great. Stroud, I would say, is very good.
The problem is there's no way to prove it, but I tend to agree. Like, Patrick Mahomes is God right now.
He would have been great right out of the
game. I don't know if I agree with that.
But he also has a perfect situation.
Yes. No, and I think that's a part of it, too. That's a part of what helped him be great.
It is the most important part.
Yeah, absolutely. Having Andy Reid and that kind of ready-made roster, 100%. Right. I think your situation around you matters. And if you can sit as a young quarterback, I think it benefits you to sit. That's just my opinion. Where's the mouse? I forgot mouses exist, but we're using one today, and I kind of like it. I think we should go back to the mouse world with computers. Let's go to Ralph, who's calling from Montclair, New Jersey. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good. What's up, dude?
Man? I was going to say, since I called in, I think you guys are hitting on it right now. It's the whole backup decision.
Yeah.
I feel like having chosen Dart as the backup means that it might not be this dramatic a decision. At some point, if Russell gets hurt, he automatically gets to step in, no drama,
yep.
And we see what he has. And then if he doesn't work out, then you bring in Winston. But it's almost like a decision that's waiting to make itself happen.
Well, that's why I don't like him being a backup. You laid it out. The Giants no longer have the power in deciding when Jackson Dart makes his NFL debut.
Right.
He's the backup on Sunday. If, God forbid, something happens to Russell Wilson, he's making his NFL debut on Sunday.
But we don't know yet what the roster is going to look like, what the game day roster is going to look like. Jackson Dart is the backup quarterback, yes, on paper. Mm-hmm. It's unofficial. Jameis Winston is not on the practice squad. He's on the active roster.
So they both can be active is what you're saying?
With they Jackson both can Dart? Be active, or one of them could be the designated third option.
Right.
And inactive but dressed. So we don't know who that's going to be.
We have finally reached week one of the NFL, and the Evan and Tiki Player to Watch is sponsored by Dr. Jay Shaw at Samwell Pain Management, ELAC 825 Building Our Future, and Jag Physical Therapy, get back the life you love. Who's the player to watch?
This feels to me like a Cam Ward weekend. Cam Ward is the only rookie quarterback that is starting in week one for the Tennessee Titans. They are playing the Denver Broncos in Denver, so it's a good defense. Nick Bonino just became the highest paid edge rusher in the NFL right now. And he's got some talent out there. Calvin Ridley, who we all kind of remember, we have suspended for a year and came back strong for the Jacksonville Jaguars, is on the Tennessee Titans. They have a pretty good running game with Tony Pollard. But Cam Ward is the rookie quarterback, number one overall pick, who's going to be in the spotlight. So a player to watch is Cam Ward to see how well he adjusts to the NFL game after being fantastic for the University of Miami a year ago.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by him. I have no idea. You think that 5 years from now we're talking about him as a superstar or a bust? We're somewhere kind of in the middle.
He feels like an in-the-middle guy.
In the middle?
Yeah. I don't know if that team is going to be good enough to raise him to that.
They got good skill position players.
They do.
They set him up well, I thought.
But they were bad a year ago.
So. Yeah, you're in a tough spot when you're the number one overall pick. I thought 100%. Eli kind of battled this, too. Eli battled two things. The number one overall pick and his last name, where he needed to be great. Mm-hmm. And that's a very high bar to have. Like, I think the bar for Jackson Dart right now, and this obviously could change, is a really good starting quarterback.
True, but he's a later round first
pick. Right. It's different.
100%.
It's just a completely different animal. But I can't wait for Sunday now. Now I'm just going to preparing for sitting there, YouTube, which I succumbed to. I ended up buying it. I got the NFL package again and just watching
oodles
of football.
You are a sucker.
What is
sucker
that?
For YouTube, every streaming device, every season ticket for even the teams you don't like. You are insane. By the way, SNY, thank you for joining us. As always, you came out and took our show for the full time. Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
You know what convinced me to go back to the NFL package?
What is that?
I heard that the Red Zone is going to have a combined 30 seconds of commercials over the course of 8 hours.
No, I thought it was a minute.
Oh, a minute of commercials. I said, that's too much for me. I'm not buying this if you're giving me a minute of commercials. That's way too much.
Right.
Can't give me a minute of commercials.
People got up in arms because Red Zone is going to have commercials. For those that don't know, it's 4 15-second commercials in 7 hours.
Well, it helps Red Zone do things that happen 3 minutes earlier and pretend they're live to their audience.
That's
so,
good play.
Again.
John Sterling's had to do that before in the past. Oh, we're late to come back?
It's the joy of radio. Exactly. The joy of radio.
You have no idea. Joining us right now, a guy who's ready to go Sunday in Washington, Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah, how y'all doing? Appreciate y'all having me out here.
Thank you for coming on. Are you ready?
I'm more than ready. I'm excited.
We have something that we have to ask you. We saw a tweet today.
All right.
Boy, what a buildup. I'm nervous.
I'm just saying. It's a tweet. There's nothing bad about it. It's just interesting.
I'm ready.
We get enamored in this city when there are unique nicknames. Back in my day, I had a Thunder and Lightning. Yeah. It was me and Ron Dane.
Okay.
It was pretty good. Worked pretty effectively. I had 1,000 yards. He rushed for 800 yards. Went to the Super Bowl. It was awesome. In fact, the first game of that season, it thundered and lightning in the stadium. We had to pause the game. It was amazing. It's Arizona Cardinals. I'll never forget it. We saw something today
What'd you see?
It was, be ready. We're 2 days away. Something along these lines. I'm paraphrasing. From the debut of Cookies and Cream. Is that what we're calling you now?
Nah, I don't know who came up with that one. I ain't gonna lie. I don't know who came up with the Cookies and Cream. I mean,
it's kind of dope, though.
I'm about to say, if it sticks, I'm cool with it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what the fans think, but if the fans love it, you know, we can do it.
Tyrone and Cam, Cookies and Cream, y'all like that?
I don't know.
The ice cream is, that's one of the best flavors, though.
Cookies and Cream, I done heard salt and pepper.
But that's done. That's like
done
the salt and pepper.
I know.
I mean, they had a group.
We were thinking about Thunder and Lightning, but you took that already. So.
But you can't be Thunder and Lightning.
Why not?
Because y'all are the same.
No, he's 240.
How excited are you for this season to start? I mean, you surprised a lot of people last year. You had just under 200 carries, rushed for 839 yards, 5 TDs. You were a marvel. I love watching you run. In fact, I was calling that Seattle game when you had your breakout game. But how excited are you to follow up what you did a year ago?
I mean, like I said, man, I'm more than excited, to be honest. Like, I'm just ready to get back out there because, to be honest, like, a lot of people talk about, you know, the past, what I did, you know, previously, and it really doesn't matter. You know, what I did past year in college last year, it really don't matter. You know, what matters is right now, and I'm ready to go back out there and show these fans, show my teammates, show myself that, you know, it wasn't a one-off. You know, I can go out there and do it again. Like I said, you got to start fast. So it's all going to start, you know, on Sunday.
So much of doing what you do and what I used to do is instinctual. And you learn it from doing it. You're still kind of learning this, right? You've only been a running back for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
How much more or how much better can you get?
I think the sky's the limit, to be honest with you. I really don't think there's, like, a limit to how good I can be. Like, I want to be the best running back in the NFL, like, period, point blank. But I know you know, where I'm at right now is not going to cut it. So each and every day I have to get 1% better, you know, whether it's, you know, catching a ball, running a ball, you know, seeing a hose correctly, like whatever it may be. Like there's a lot of things, you know, with my within my game that I can get better at. And each and every time I step on a green, man, I'm trying to get better at something.
Tell me about the relationship with you and Cam. Because sometimes athletes will look at a guy drafted at his position as a threat.
Yeah.
When really it should be motivation, yeah. Right? And it should be the whole cliche iron sharpens iron type of thing. Tell me about your relationship with Cam.
Yeah, I mean, it's dope. I mean, me and Cam, we butt heads sometimes, you know, but we go back and forth. But at the same time, like, he wants to be great. I want to be great. I won't say completely opposites, but, like, we're opposites. Like, he's very out loud, vocal, yelling. Like, I'm very cool, calm, chill, laid back, like, mentally focused on it, on whatever I got going on. Like, I'm outgoing, but, you know, in certain situations, you know, but when it's football, I'm playing ball. Cam is, like, he's a vocal leader. I'm a leader as in, like, my actions are going to speak, you know. You can look at me and see, like, okay, Tyrone was doing the right thing. I want to do what he do.
Right.
But our relationship, man, it's great. It really is. It was great. Like, we bounce ideas off of each other. You know, I let him know, you know, obviously what he can do better. He lets me know, you know, what I can do better. Cause I feel like as a leader, you got to learn to follow. You know, you can't just be a leader all the time. Like, right. To be a good leader, you have to be a great follower. You got to know when to lead, but you also got to know when to follow. And like I said, Cam give good advice. I give good advice. But I think he'll be a really good football player, man. Yeah, I really do.
What do you guys butt heads about out of curiosity?
A lot, man. It's a lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff that goes on. You know, he doesn't sometimes, you know, he has rookie duties. You know, I was a rookie last year. So, you know, you best believe I'm going to make him do the rookie duties that I was doing last year. So, I mean, but he's been pretty well about it so far. You know, he gets us our snacks. Tomorrow's the first day, you know, of a away game. So, you know, rookies, they got to come in with our lunch.
What do you want them to get?
Oh, yeah.
My day, I think it was Popeye's chicken that guys would come with.
That's what I do. Go get me a four-piece spicy. Go get me the fries. Make sure I got the lemonade on the side. If you miss it, hey, it's going to be something wrong with you. I don't know what's going to happen. I might mess with your car, something.
Are you guys able to do that to Abdul Carter too? Like, is he getting rookied or is he exempt?
I'm not. Talk to Byron Burns. Talk to Kayvon Thibodeau. Gotcha. That's them. I'm Scat. That's me. Cam Scataboo. Yeah, that's my rook.
Other than the lack of duties you have, because you're no longer a rookie, you're a sophomore, what's the biggest difference going into the start of this season as compared to your rookie season?
I would say my confidence, man. Like, I feel really good at where I'm at. When I'm out on the field, I'm not, you know, thinking so much. I think last year, man, when I was in there, especially the first couple of games, man, I was just trying to do whatever the play was supposed to do. I wasn't trying to make a play.
Right.
If the play said run right, I'm running right. Like, that's it, period, point blank. And then once we got towards the end of the season, man, like, I was no longer trying to make a mistake. I was, you know, making a play. I was trying to go out there and make a play, like, make an explosive play. And I think that is where I'm at now. Like, every time I step on the field, every time I touch the ball, like, I want it to be an explosive play. Like, somehow, some way, like, even if it's pad protection, like, I want that to be an explosive play, you know, that come out of that. Like, whatever it may be. Like, I think that, you know, when I'm on the field, I want to, you know, the people that's watching, the people that's there, whether you're watching on TV, whatever, I want you to feel my passion, feel my energy. Like, because I'm a passionate player. When I get up and yell, I'm not doing that for show. I do that because, like, that's the energy I'm giving off right there. So I definitely want the people, the fans, my teammates to feel the energy, and I want it to be contagious.
I had a running back coach used to tell me, even though the quarterbacks get paid the most, people come to watch the running backs.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have the ability to truly electrify game with any given play. As you think about this team and this construction, it's been intentional, right? You draft yourself, Malik Nabers, a year ago. You bring in Russ, who is one of the best deep ball throwers in the game. How close are you guys to being that explosive offense that we all know Dave's wants?
Yeah, I mean, we have shown it, you know, preseason. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, got together in offseason, you know, at Russ's. We have done everything. We have done everything that is needed to be that type of caliber offense. But we have to do it on Sundays, man. Like, I think we have the pieces to the puzzle, but, you know, who's to say we have the pieces to the puzzle when we don't go out there and produce?
Right.
You know, so I think on Sunday, like, when we go out there and actually do it, like, we can no longer just talk about we want to do this, we want to do that. We got to go out there and prove to not only, like, ourselves, but to the fans, man, right, like, that, you know, the New York Giants, that we don't have that offense that can't produce, mm-hmm, or that can't produce explosives or, nah, we got an offense that can go out there and score points. We can score 30 points a game. Like, we need to prove that, though. We can't just say it. Right. We have to go out there and do it.
Right. You're getting people hyped talking about this.
Man, I mean, I'm getting myself hyped. I'm ready to go play right now.
I'm telling you. Look, one of, you just said something that I find very interesting, and I've heard this all offseason, that Russell Wilson has accepted this role as this as the leader.
Yeah.
Right? He comes in with experience. He has he's had successes. He's had some failures. I mean, we can all remember what happened in Denver, and it was ill-advised, but I'm sure it's something he learned from.
Yeah.
But talk to me about Russell and how he integrated himself, like, so quickly into this team, because it feels like he quickly became the leader.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we really, especially offensively, we didn't really have that vocal leader, you know, on the offense. Defense, you had, like, Brian Burns, Dex, but, like, offensively, we didn't really have nobody, you know? So we had people who was trying to do that, but there was really no presence in that leader position. So when he came in, it was kind of already just, like, given to him. But it was also, like, he took it and ran with it. Like, he does a great job of, like, commanding the offense. He does a great job of, like, understanding who he's talking to and how he's talking to somebody, because, like, as a leader, you got to know how this person is going to respond to what you're saying. Like, some people is going to respond differently when you yell at them or get on them. You know what I'm saying?
Russ yells?
Russ don't yell. I'm lying. Russ don't yell. Russ is more positive, man. Like, he's always speaking life into you. Like, he's a big believer of, like, your words and, like, making sure that, you know, what he's saying to you is coming off as positive. So when you go out there and play again, he's going to hit you again. Whether you mess it up or you made a play, he's going to throw it to you again. He's going to hand it off again. He's going to do whatever he needs to make sure that, like, you are in a good headspace. And that's a really good trait when you talk about a leader.
What is Jackson Dart like in that way?
And, like,
in the leader, like, in your experience with him, obviously you haven't had that much, but leadership wise, what are you seeing from Jackson Dart as a rookie so far in that?
I mean, from a leadership standpoint, I would say he's very confident. I feel like he's a playmaker. Like, outside of Russ and Jameis, he is that person, I would say, that's going to take that step next. You know, obviously, in the quarterback position, he has a lot to learn still. Right. But I think just from seeing him play in the preseason, seeing his energy, he's a dog. Like, and when you get a dog and a quarterback, man, everybody else is going to follow behind, and, like, he's going to attract that energy. And I think that's what Dave's want. If you really look at the people he's drafting, we all dogs. You got me, Malik, Tyler Newbin, Drew Phillips, Darius Musau. Like, everyone he's bringing onto the train, like, we all have that, like, dog mentality, whether we're up 20 or we're down 20. Like, I think a great example is when we was playing in Dallas last year. We was losing. I think it was, like, maybe 2 minutes left, but we was doing 2 minutes, and me, Theo, Malik, we all making catches, trying to go score the ball. Like, you know, it's the effort that we give, even no matter what, like, no matter what's going on. If we're playing, like, we are going out there to kill and dominate. And, like I said, that's just the energy, that's the vibe that we have in the locker room right now, and I think, you know, it's going to take us places.
And it gets you, it goes far when you actually have the talent around you.
Yes.
And the talent that everybody, every single Giant fan in this crowd and those that are listening on the radio have been worried about is the offensive line. Assess where they are right now.
I mean,
obviously, we don't know about Andrew Thomas. We won't give that away. You can't give it away.
But do you know?
We'll find
out. If you do know, you can tell us.
I can't tell you.
But do you know?
I think my PR team tells me y'all to go talk to Dave.
Do not get yourself in trouble.
Y'all got to go talk to Dave about that one.
Ignore that man. He's a Jet fan. But where do you feel like the line is?
I think we have a really, really good offensive line. Again, I'm going to give you examples from last year because, like, I've only been here 1 year. And when the O-line was healthy, you know, I was getting 100-yard games. You know, I was having a really, really good season. Then we started, you know, having injuries and started playing mismatch with the offensive line, putting people where they're not supposed to be or where they're just not usually playing. You know, then that's when, you know, things kind of went, you know, down south. But now we have a healthy O-line. We have the depth behind it to make sure that, like, if, God forbid, knock on wood, anybody does get hurt, we have someone behind him that's just as good, that's going to come in and step in and play well. So I think that, like, man, I feel really good about our offensive line. I think they go against the best, you know, defensive line each and every day. So, like, when, you know, the game time comes, like, they're not going to blink. There is no bluffing, you know what I'm saying? Because we go against it every single day. So when they come out here on Sunday, I mean, I think they're going to produce, man. I really do.
When, and I'm sure someone will do this, they will come up to you and say, oh, big fan, Tyrone Tracy, I drafted you in the third round of my fantasy league. Do you roll your eyes, or are you very proud when someone tells you they're on your fantasy team?
And no, he's on their fantasy team.
And that you, right. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Sorry. Raise the hands, how many people I'm on your fantasy team?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right.
By the way, I'm raising my hand. Fifth round. It was a steal, Tyrone.
No, man. I mean, I appreciate it, man. I really do appreciate it. Each and every person who comes up to me and says something, like, to me, that's a dream come true because, like, you know, I remember being back home in Indianapolis, Indiana, like, you know, sitting on my couch, bro, dreaming of being in this position where I'm at now. So I really can't, you know, bat an eye or be upset when someone comes to me and say something. I'm like, bro, that's dope. Like, I try to have a conversation with you just because, like, bro, that really is super cool that, like, you pick me out of all these people to be on your fantasy team. Like, so I'm going to do my best to go out there, you know, and make something happen. But, like, if God forbid something happened, y'all cannot hit me in my DMs. Don't be doing that. Don't be hitting me up. Don't hit my girlfriend up. My mom. Don't be doing that.
Oh, that's funny.
I love that.
That's all right, great.
Last year, you had 192 carries. About an hour ago, Sean Morash, you're sitting on the end of the table down there, said Tyrone Tracy's going to lead the league in rushing.
I like that.
Okay, hold on. In order to do that, you're going to need to carry the ball at least 300 times. Mm-hmm. That's 108 more carries than you did last year.
That's a lot.
I mean, you're put together. You called me small last night.
I don't think I said small. I don't think that's the right word.
You said you're little, man.
That's what it is. That's the word. That's the word right there. I said little. That's what I said. I said little.
Can you carry? By the way, I had 300 carries in each of my last 4 years.
Okay.
So just letting
just
you know.
Just a little something.
So small guys can get it done, too. Can you carry the ball that many times? Like, if called upon. Obviously, you're going to be splitting some time, obviously, with Cam and et cetera. Motors there, too. So, but, like, do you see yourself as being the traditional every down back guy that's always in there, and can your body hold up to that?
Yes, me personally, I do. But realistically, when you're talking about where the game is at right now,
right?
I just don't see myself in there all the time, just because where the game is at now, with the carries that I'm given and the touches that I'm given, why can't I, you know, lead the league in rushing or lead the league in all purpose? Like, I don't put a limit on God's blessing on me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think God can bless me in each and every way. I understand that, like, there is some things that I might have to go through to get there. You know, I have to take care of my body better. I got to recover. I got to do all these things as a professional. But at the same time, like, I think that, you know, I can really do it. You know, I really do. I believe in myself. I think I can do it.